Okay, so review questions for section 2.2.1, sensation versus perception. So question one reads, what is the difference between sensation and perception? Sarah?
Sensation is what the body does and perception is your processing.
Yeah, so sensation happens naturally by the body. Perception is the making of meaning from that sensation, okay? List the type of stimuli each receptor organ takes in as information. So the tongue takes in what? Not taste, that's what it does. What's the stimulus it takes in, Tyson?
Breaks down chemicals in the food.
Chemicals on the tongue. The nose takes in?
Chemicals in the air.
Chemicals in the air. Your eye receives?
Light.
Light waves. Your ear receives? Sound waves, and we didn't do nose or touch. Your body receives physical abnormalities or differences on a surface. Okay, give two examples of the limits of our human perception. What are two ways other people can answer here? What are two ways that we have limitations in what we can receive in our surroundings, Kalina? Okay, we can't see UV rays, and what else?
The other one was like, the heat one, like the different colors of like thermal energy.
Yeah, we can't see thermal, but we do have tools we've designed that we can read these things. Okay. Explain how the brain uses all parts of an environment to create a memory or an experience. Oh, we're going to skip that. We skipped over those things. But the answer here would be similar to using multiple modalities, right? We take in our sight, we take in our touch, we take in what we hear, all of those senses. The more we can use, the more meaning we can make. Okay, here, question five. What is synesthesia? Celine? When you see letters in color, yeah, your brain's miswired. Describe the difference between the top-down and bottom-up processing. That's a tough one. Okay, so top-down is your palm down, which is iffy. So whatever you're looking at must be really ambiguous, but you've instinctually noticed something, right? So what's an example of that? Hey, look up in the clouds. That looks like a giraffe.
Recognizing something.
Yeah, recognizing something, and like on a piece of toast, people have found the image of Jesus on a piece of toast, right? You've heard those stories? Okay. So that would be your top down. Bottom up is that's clearly this. You can clearly identify what you see there in it. An example would be the face of the young versus the old woman, right? Or it's clearly an elephant. It has too many legs, but it's clearly an elephant, okay? Draw out two types of the Gestalt principles of perception and explain how these principles influence our experiences. Why don't we start with the last part of that question? So we know that the brain follows this pattern. It reads the environment, and it will make sense of one of these Gestalt principles, right? How does that speed up what we experience or what we're visually taking in? Kalina?
Your brain's taking like shortcuts to get like figure out what it is and whatever.
Yeah, it's taking the quickest route, and if it can scan it and make meaning of it by proximity, by similarity, by closure, by common fate, then it can just more quickly make an understanding of what it's looking at. Okay? Now this is good because it helps you make meaning quickly. It's bad because maybe you're making an assumption of what you're looking at that's not true to the environment, right? Your brain might have gone too quickly to make meaning of something, like when you were first looking at the pictures of the flowers. Your brain decided what it could recognize. It didn't read more of the information after that. You had to actively use your conscious to scan and search that image, right? So that's a clear example that it's helpful that the brain takes these shortcuts to help us make meaning. But it's the negative part of it is that we don't always get all of the information of our environment. We are missing information because the brain just doesn't want to process more than it needs to. So can you trust your perceptions? No. But enough so that you're functioning, right? How does subliminal messaging affect your brain or your experiences? Tyson?
It sends messages without you being aware of it.
Yes. Yeah, so if you think about that line that we have drawn on the board where you have your conscious awareness above the line and then your unconscious awareness is below, advertisers or movie producers, there are things that are in your environment that you are exposed to that your unconscious recognizes, and it does cause changes in your body, even slight chemical changes, like you'll have maybe a shot of adrenaline come out or dopamine or something like that. But it's not so much a clear message that it rises up to your conscious awareness. So you are impacted. Your body has had a physical change as a result of seeing that, but you're not aware of it, right? So that's the danger of subliminal messages. I think you'd be surprised how much you are impacted by that, how much it's out there in your everyday. Okay. And question 9, we're just going to skip, so you can put a line through question 9. After image or ghost image, that's why you're seeing those the gray or white dots between this square box, because it's just that kind of after effect of a visual image passing through the cortex there. So those are your review questions.